Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Babe.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is
Babe.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my God, we're coming to
we're coming to you from a very expensive shoebox in New York.
Yes. It's called the Greenwich Hotel.
Yeah.
Ever heard of it?
It's like a coffin. It's like a glamorous coffin.
It is.
Robert De Niro owns it. It's in Tribeca.
A lot of his art is on the walls, which I'm super unclear on.
I didn't know he painted.
He paints, and I'm convinced he like made this hotel so that he could just hang his art on the walls.
I love that. I love being like, I'll just buy a hotel, make it chic, and then hang my art.
Robert De Niro's art is a babe for
me.
Yeah,
it's a total babe.
I thought the signature on it was Joan Miro, and then I looked closer and it was De Niro.
Well, there you go.
Babe?
It's actually, the thing is that the hotel is actually very chic. I've been wanting to stay here for years, and
Ryan is having a series of babe moments. I think New York brings out your
New York is
most
hard for me,
major
and
babe.
And you know that. For me to be happy and soothed in New York, it's actually very hard because the thing is I just don't love New York. I actually really don't. And I always come back here and I'm like, well, maybe this will be the time where I fall back in love with it. And, you know, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But it takes me thousands of dollars to realize that.
It takes you a lot of
money. Thousands
of
dollars later
and
for
like,
me to be like, no.
I'm happy to just be along for the ride.
Yeah. It's a fine ride.
My signature move is just to come along for the ride. But I will say that New York brings out a very specific side of your babeness.
What do you mean?
Like, we were in a taxi yesterday, last night, going from Staten Island to Manhattan. And as soon as we crossed over the bridge, Ryan goes under his breath, "There she is." In regards to...
I didn't say that.
Yes,
you make
did.
That up.
I'm not she making that up.
You said that last night and I just didn't believe it.
No, you said it. I laughed at you in the car.
I don't remember.
Ryan is like having a, like, it's good to be back in Manhattan moment, like a series of moments
I always, when I come back, I'm like, you know what? I like it here. I do. You know what? This time it'll be different. And the next day I wake up and I'm like, oh, what am I doing here? It's always like that. But I was here for business. And what? I was here to
speak. You were here for business.
I was here to speak at a college in Staten Island. And it went well. I mean, we flew. I haven't slept in like 3 days.
Yeah.
And we flew in early. We took an early morning flight and we flew in. I had to give this talk. I thought it was a Q&A, but it actually just ended up being just me.
It was an A.
It was just an A.
Less of the Qs.
Well,
more
I brought in some Qs at the end.
Yeah.
Those Qs were like my emotional support animal. I needed them. But it went well. And by the way, if anyone listening to this podcast goes to college, they should book us.
Yeah, book us to come and talk about our LA journeys, because I actually do a talk in LA a lot of the time at Columbia College's semester in LA, and I'll go in and tell like an hour long story of kind of my journey and then do like a Q&A afterwards. So unlike some people in the room, I'm a seasoned professional.
Well,
at a college talk. So
I've
us.
Actually given a lot of college talks in my day.
Have you?
Yeah, when
Could
I was at Thought Catalog.
Could have fooled me last night.
Hey, the fans loved it last night.
The readers loved it, and they showed up in droves.
Well, like,
they said it was the most highly populated
attended.
And
there was like 12 people there.
I would say. But that's a success.
12, I guess. Yeah, sure.
I once went to a book signing in literally buttfuck Brooklyn. Where three people showed up. Three.
But also...
But it was all... Anyone showing up is a good thing.
Well, the fact that they showed up... And I remember you were telling me this bookstore. I didn't never even heard of it before. And it was... Where was it? Like Sunset Park?
I to this day have no idea. I just know that I had to get on several trains and like ride...
That's
I feel like I rode...
They like did your, because no one's going to come to that.
No, it was in a, it was in February. No, it was in April. It was in April, but it was really, really rainy and like shit weather. And it was like at 7 p.m. on like a weeknight. And they were like, here's where your book signing is and do a reading. And then three people showed up. But you know what? I did a reading and had a great time.
My book signing.
Three people that showed up had so much fun.
Everyone came to my book signing.
Really?
There were a lot of people.
Where was it?
It was really heavily populated.
Was your book a New York Times bestseller?
No.
No?
No.
It wasn't? It wasn't?
It was a worst seller.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Because mine was.
I think my book sold like 1,000 copies.
Mine was a New York Times best-selling book.
I know. It's in its second printing, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh God.
Wow. Okay. It's crazy to be a New York Times bestseller. Like every day of my life from 2012 forever, I'm a New York Times best-selling author. It's just like crazy. I come to New York and it's just such a, like a literary city, yeah, and
you're already with your literary
I feel
literary
really
friends.
At home.
You're at literary salons.
We went to a bookstore. I walked around. I thought, wow, I'm a New York Times bestseller in this bookstore. I looked for my book. They didn't carry it. Probably because it's sold out.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was because it was sold out. You're totally right. You're right, honey. When you're right, you're right.
When I'm right,
who am I to argue?
I'm right, yeah. You can't argue with a New York Times bestselling author.
I know.
You can't do it.
I totally understand. Let's see. Let's see.
You had a really interesting thing happen to you this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had sex. Well, I got fucked in the ass by this porn star. But I didn't really realize it. I didn't know. I honestly didn't know. So, okay, you know how last week I told the readers that I wanted to open up the relationship a little bit and I wanted to do it with this porn star? I had this porn star in mind.
Yeah.
And
can you
so,
say who it is or no?
No, I don't think so.
Fine.
So then I booked an appointment with him.
I guess he won't be open with the readers.
No.
You're closed off and withholding.
No. I just don't want to like ruin this guy's life.
I'm kidding.
So
go on.
Okay. So I went to his house and he gave me a massage and then he started fingering my asshole, which was like par for the course. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And then he like kind of fake fucked me, which he's done before.
What's that?
Like just like humping me. Like, you
does
know,
he have
like
a finger in while he humps? So it's
yeah. Like yeah. So it basically seems like he's fucking me. But then at one point he really was just fucking me and I didn't really, I was confused because when you spend a lot of time fingering someone's asshole, you get really loose and it's like, well, no, you just like don't know.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So anyway, couldn't tell the difference between.
Well, I kind of could like emotionally, but like spiritually, I kind of like blocked it out. So he was like kind of fucking me, I think. And then I was like, wait, are you fucking me? And he was like, yes. And I'm like, oh, you need to like not do that. And he was like, oh, well, I'm on prep. And I mean, I'm sure he is. But I was just like, nah, we need to stop this. And you know what? It's kind of my fault because I don't know what I was expecting. Like, for him to put on a con, like, I don't know. I know it sounds invasive that this guy like basically entered me without permission.
You had,
but I didn't mind it.
If
I don't
that
know.
Was a woman in your situation, that would be a problem.
But I think he just comes from a different world where it's like everyone is on prep. And but by
I
the
think
way,
also if you're going, I mean, I
what
I don't know.
I wasn't bothered by it, TBH. And like,
no, I don't. And I'm not saying that you should be one way or
so,
another.
So, well, he like pulled out and he was like, oh, yeah, no worries. Like, don't worry about it. He didn't give a shit. And he was like, oh, well, you, if you are thinking about opening a relationship, you should go on prep. And then he like told me about prep and all the stuff and how he's been on it since like one of the early trials. So he has a lifetime free supply of it. He was a sweetie about it.
So, wait, did you finish then?
Well, yeah, of course, but not. He didn't. I didn't come by him fucking me. He stopped fucking me and he did not go back in.
Okay.
What?
Nothing. I just like, I was curious.
I was just confused. I don't know what I want. I'm so confused. I like left that experience being like, well, I don't know. I just felt kind of like whatever about it.
I don't think you know.
I don't know what I want.
I don't know what I want.
I know I want Jonathan. That's for sure.
You're like Goldie Cox.
Okay. That's like a fucking Sex and the City pun from like 4 or 5 years.
Well, someone has to do some Sex and the City justice.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Well, you are because you say you want to fuck and like go whore around.
And then I
no
do
judgment,
it. And then I'm like.
And then you do it. And immediately
like
you're
it.
Like, get your dick out of my ass. So.
Yeah. And then I go back
want?
To Jonathan. I'm like, my darling.
Do you like.
Angel.
I feel like you like the process of telling him that this happened to you more than you actually like
it. Well, no, it wasn't fun talking to him about this because I didn't want him to think that I had some incurable STD or something. You know, he's such a.
Honey.
What?
you're not going to get like an incurable STD from, I mean, you might.
he was inside me for that long.
Yeah.
It was truly like a split. Like it was like 30 seconds.
It was like an in and out.
In and out. Yeah, it was quick. No, everything's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. But I know, it's just a weird conversation to have with your boyfriend, no matter how woke you are.
Well, do you enter a sexual situation, or did you have any sort of, like, prior conversation with the porn star where you're like, what are we going
to
do?
No. I think...
Maybe you need to enter and say, like, I want you to, like, lay out what you want to do ahead of time.
Well, no. I mean, obviously, like, for us to truly fook, like, I'd have to go on prep because I don't think he's going to wear a condom.
Well, can't you ask him to wear a condom?
Yeah.
Can't you just be like, I'm not
But maybe I don't want to fuck him anymore. Maybe I'm done. Don't.
Yeah, you might be done.
Oh, God, it's so confusing.
How many half fucks are you going to have to endure before you realize if you truly want to full fuck or not?
Stop.
I know.
I think you like the drama of it more than you like actually doing it.
You're
a drama queen.
Yeah, but like I actually really do want to explore this part of myself, I think. I don't know. I'm just really confused about what I want.
Well,
whatever. It's very real. Whatever. It's like, it's fine. I mean, like, again, like, there's never a point in this process where I question wanting to be with Jonathan. Like, he's my fucking future husband. I'm like, love him.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know. I actually really don't know because I think maybe I am sort of a lesbian when it comes to hooking up. I think maybe I do need to have a connection with the person. You know, I don't know.
You are a little bit.
Which is not great.
That's not bad, though.
No, but in terms of opening your relationship, like, well, no, you want to be able, you want to be able to, like, fook a Marlon Rando and move on.
Well, yeah, but, like, you also don't, if you know that you crave a connection to someone before you have sex with them and you need to have some sort of layer of intimacy, I feel like that's problematic in the sense that if you open up a relationship and then allow yourself to be that intimate and vulnerable with another person.
I don't want that. That's the thing. I don't want intimacy. I have intimacy from Jonathan.
Yeah. So
I don't need intimacy from anyone else.
Maybe you're just like a monogamous bitch.
I guess who like, I know, but I don't know how to reconcile any of this. I mean, whatever. Well, whatever.
I'm like, stay tuned.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
I have a feeling this will play out for a while.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to be, poor Jonathan. He really deserves like a tulip. for putting up with this shit.
I love Hydrangea. You. A lot of the readers have written in and have been like, when is Jonathan going to have his moment of justice?
He wants to come on
and
so bad.
So bad. And Ryan just shuts it down. And Jonathan deserves his voice to be heard.
He does. And have him over. I don't give a shit.
Well, I might conduct a one-on-one interview.
You don't sit down. Like an exclusive.
Yeah.
You pay like $20,000 to get his side of the story.
Well, I get people to pay us $20,000.
Oh my God. That is so funny if you make it like a Patreon exclusive.
Should we do a Patreon where...
For Jonathan's side of the story.
For Jonathan's
side.
Wait,
that is... Babe, that's the first Patreon for Babe. It's literally, you have to pay for Jonathan's side of the story.
Then the bonus episodes are Jonathan Talks.
That is actually fucking hilarious.
That is hilarious.
That is actually a really good idea.
That's a great idea. Maybe we'll do it. Stay tuned. No, I relate, though, to your dilemma in a sense, because... As the readers know, I've had my own like journey with men and that journey rages on. And basically like, well, so we were talking last week about Carly's book that she had written, A Slut Ever,
By the way, we'll have Carly on.
We need to have Carly on.
We're figuring this out. We have a podcast producer who's coming. We have guests coming on soon.
Yeah. Don't worry.
I'm not going to say like
you're
who.
Just so like lit about it. It's like
what?
We can just leave it to be a surprise.
No, but I like whetting the appetite of the readers.
Okay. Well, stay tuned. Anyways, I'm reading Carly's book and it's really opening up my eyes and like teaching me things about myself that I'd never known. And I was reading it because it's like she talks about like being a proud slut and like having sex with a ton of people. And she's coming from like a very open, honest, and empowered place about her sexuality. And it's like so refreshing
to read. It's not victim-y.
It's not victim-y at all. And it just made me think about like how I think I often associate sex. I get sex and love like deeply connected to each other when they can be separate. And I feel like I approach a lot of situations where I'm like sexually attracted to someone being like feeling like I want to have sex with them, and then I want so much more. But really, I don't necessarily want
but
more.
This
and
is
going to
sound cliche, but like, isn't that how, or corny, or no, not cliche, corny. Oh my God, I can't talk. This is going to sound maybe like stupid to say, but that was what I was looking for. Okay. Stupid.
Stupid. You nailed it.
Yeah, I nailed it. But aren't women kind of wired that way when they have sex?
Well, I'm trying to figure out, and her book talks about this too, is like the way you're supposedly wired as a woman versus how society tells you to look at sex and relationships.
Where does one end and the other begin?
And I think that more often than not, society tells women like, oh, you should wait for love to have sex, or you need to wait, or like, this idea that like men get something and women give up something is so like yesterday.
Well, she also had this quote, which I liked about it, which she was like, when men like sex, they're like, duh, because sex is amazing and you're horny, love that. And when a woman likes sex, they're like, oh my God, what is your trauma? Like, who touched you when you were younger?
Yeah.
Like, there's this implication that if you do have a healthy sexual appetite and you're a woman, that you're in some ways damaged or something like that.
So I'm like, now I think I'm trying to reframe and become like sexually empowered in a way that it's like I can accept that maybe I want to like sleep with someone, but that doesn't necessarily mean I want more than that. And it doesn't mean I owe them more than that. It's just like, I can sleep with this person and we can be friendly, but it doesn't mean like, oh, they have to be my boyfriend or we have to date or like anything else has to happen. Because I feel like a lot of the time I just like,
it can just
be a fun experience.
Yeah. And I think you've had that before.
I've had that before, but I've also had the opposite of that.
Right.
And so it's just, I don't know, it opened up my mind. And so I highly recommend.
Opened up your mind. Now it's opening up your legs.
Yeah.
Honey. Love that.
Love it.
You should buy Carly's book. This is ending up to just be a promotion for Carly's book.
Yeah, this is called...
It's called
This
Whatever.
Podcast is brought to you by Whatever.
I know. Carly doesn't even know. I should text her and be like, babe,
honey,
check out the pod.
Yeah, she's a ultimate babe exclamation point.
Yeah, she's fucking great. What else?
What else is going on?
Oh, God. Jesus. Whoa, this bed that we're on, I guess, is very uncomfortable. So here's the deal. The Greenwich Hotel costs as much as Rancho Valencia, which trolls me at night because it is truly the smallest room you'll ever see. And it's chic, but it's, again, like a chic coffin. And Laura immediately gets on the bed and she goes, no.
I'm a bed connoisseur. Like, I know what makes a comfortable bed, and I have like extremely
high bed
standards.
I know you're all
standards.
About your bed.
Oh, honey, it's all about the bed.
I know.
It begins and ends with a bed.
The bed. I know.
And first and foremost, you need to have a really nice, or not. You don't have to have a really nice mattress because you can make things work with like mattress pads and stuff. But it needs to be. You need to have like a fluff factor or something. It can't be too soft, but you definitely want like a sink in effect to
your
bed.
These sheets are fucked up.
And then
this is a fucked up bed. It's fucked up.
Here's what.
It's also like a full.
It's like a full bed that we're sharing.
Two sisters. Oh my God. We're
and the sheets. The sheets are like crispy.
They're crispy.
It reminds me of that freckle line where she says, sometimes things that are expensive
are worse.
And that is the definition of this.
It's so true.
Not to lose our relatability factor.
Yeah, well, honey.
Honey,
like we ever had.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm highly relatable.
We were at the...
I'm the relatable one.
We are at the... That's what we pitch it. She's the relatable one.
I'm relatable.
I'm the one who's always in a nice hotel. We were at the Bowery last night, staying there too, and the beds are better at the Bowery.
We fled from a Holiday Inn.
Okay,
at Ryan's request.
This feels, I know, I feel rude saying this. So yeah, we were staying at a Holiday Inn in Staten Island, and I immediately was like,
Ryan,
I gotta
just
go.
Said he couldn't deal
I gotta
with
go
it.
I know. And so we escaped.
We escaped into the night.
We
fled to Manhattan.
We got there at like 3 a.m.
We drove over the bridge. Ryan goes, there she
I know, you already told them.
I know, but I'm telling them again because it was truly a lol moment. I was like, hun?
Oh, God, that is so embarrassing because I truly don't remember it.
I was drunk last night.
Yeah, I was drunk.
And then we got to the Bowery and finally Ryan was soothed. But it takes a lot to soothe you.
I know. No, especially here, though. I'm not kidding you. Yeah. I need to be swaddled like a little baby.
But the bed here is not cutting it as far as beds are concerned. It's just like... It's
I know. And we're here for
one.
Three nights.
It's okay, though.
Whatever.
I mean, we'll survive. Don't worry about us. We're going to be fine.
Yeah. Please don't light the candle.
I'm trying to think
to.
What else has gone on this week.
In terms of your life?
Yeah.
Well, you want to talk about that story about you breaking your face?
Yes, I did. So someone had actually written into or tweeted or maybe Facebook message. I can't somehow on the internet brought to my attention. They were like, they made a comment that was like, how are these people on Vanderpump Rules like having all these horrific accidents? And like, I've never known someone to have like fallen and broken their face or like fallen through a skylight. Like, this just seems so niche.
Yeah.
And then I was like, actually, I've had a lot of accidents.
You're really
like
accident
that.
Prone in a weird
I
way.
I was. I'm not anymore.
You
I
just
changed.
Fell over 20 minutes ago.
I did not fall over.
I saw you. You almost
Ryan,
fell over.
I leaned over to get my podcasting equipment and I fell. Bumped my head on a lamp, like very lightly. It didn't even hurt.
I was worried.
Shut up.
I thought that.
I don't like you
apart.
I don't like you saying that I have accidents because I don't anymore.
But you used to.
I used to, but I changed my accident karma.
Oh my God, you're insane.
Don't. You're pissing me off right
oh
now.
Oh my God, she's triggered.
I'm triggered. I've just broken into a full-blown sweat of rage.
Okay, calm down.
I have rage sweat.
Go take a swim. Come on.
Okay, come, babe.
Okay.
Come on.
Back. All right. Come on. Okay.
Come on.
Go on.
Okay.
What?
So,
okay.
So I used to be very accident prone, and I think that coincided with a lot of heavier drinking that I used to do.
Right.
But 2012 was one of the worst years of my life. Like, it was.
Was it?
Yeah. It was a good year in the sense that like my first book came out and as I said, I hit the New York Times bestselling list. So I became a New York Times bestselling
right,
author.
Of course.
But it was also a year of a lot of loss and like painful situations. Mm-hmm. So, and a year of me dealing with them really terribly.
Uh-huh.
And so when around March 2012, one of my really close friends from high school committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I don't think anyone saw it coming. And it was really sad and like fucked up. And just like, I mean, I guess you never really see that stuff coming, but it was just like a true, like what the fuck kind of moment. And I like immediately had like a meltdown. I called my parents. I was like, you need to like help me fly out to Oklahoma City so I can like go to her funeral, like blah, blah, blah. And then a lot of our friends in that friend group were like reaching out to each other and it was like, okay, we're all going to like hang out, while we're home. And so I went back, I went to the funeral and I had it in my brain. I was going to go back and specifically try and fuck this guy that I had fucked all through high school.
Oh, wait, this took a turn.
Yeah. I was like, how do I make this about me?
Oh, my God.
No, babe, I dealt with it really, really poorly.
Fair enough.
I was like, went home, immediately started drinking a ton, then was like, I'm going to fuck this guy, even though he had a girlfriend.
Oh,
I was
my God.
Like, it's fine, I'm going to make it happen.
Right.
So after the funeral, like, I had been, like, kind of seen him or whatever. Like, he was around, obviously, like, went to the funeral and, like, to drinks after the funeral.
It sounds like the scene's already been set. It's so hot.
Yeah,
you guys went to the funeral, and so you're horny.
So, we're talking and stuff, and I keep being, like, he mentioned that he had a lot of photos from when we were in high school, and I was like, oh, we should get together and, like, look at those pictures.
Right.
Like, we should just, like, take a trip down memory lane. Because I was, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, like, he'll invite me over. We'll, like, look at photos of our friend
God.
That just died. And then,
babe,
like,
this is dark.
Babe, it's really dark. I don't
my
know what
God.
To say. I don't know what to say.
Fair enough. Okay.
But I'm like, I'm just going to own the darkness. And trust me, it takes, like, a turn and delivers me my karmic, like, truth. So I'm, like, in my head thinking, like, we're going to look at all these photos. We may cry. Like, who knows? And then I'll just, like, attack him. We'll fuck. And it'll be amazing. And
oh
I was,
my
like,
God.
So I'm, like, creeping on him the entire time, being, like, I can't wait to see you. Like, maybe call me tomorrow. We'll, like, look at the photos. And he's, like, yeah. Like, I think he's truly just, like, this girl's fucking crazy.
Right.
So I go out one night with a bunch of friends, a lot of guy friends that I'd had in high school, and, like, a few girls that I knew, and we all go to this like divey bar and are a lot of the guys are playing pool and we're like taking shots. And one of my friends, like this like little kind of guy, he's like very small in stature. He's like wild and like very physical. And so he is like hugging a lot and like jumping around. And then he's like, I'm like jumping on him and he's picking me up. And so he's like tells me to jump on him. So
he's
jump.
A tiny man.
He's like a tiny little guy, but strong.
Okay.
Like a little stout, strong body individual. But he was also wasted.
Right.
So he's like, jump up here, Shane. I was like, blah, blah, blah. So I jump on him and then he falls backwards because he's drunk and I fall forwards and smashed the side of my face on like the metal bar where you put your feet
on
the bar. And I heard in my head, like the sound that my face made smashing
thing.
And then I was knocked out.
You passed out.
I fully passed out. And I came to on the floor of this dive bar, surrounded by everyone that was in there. It was like, honey. I'd been out for like 45 seconds and they were like, what do we do about this girl? And I woke up and I just like looked around and I was like, just started bawling, crying. Like I was like, everything converged in that moment. Right. And I was like, I actually can't handle this anymore. Right. I'm just going to like let it out and like let everyone here deal with me because I actually can't deal with myself.
Fair enough.
So I just curled up in the fetal position and was like scream sobbing, like crying, being like, and like everyone was like, what the fuck? So my friend that caused the accident, he ran away.
Someone decided
to call an ambulance because I clearly needed one.
The wambulance.
Yeah. And so an ambulance came and then like two women like kind of scooped me up and like helped me walk out to the ambulance. Then they like load me on a stretcher and put me in the ambulance. And I'm like freaking out because I didn't know if I had health insurance or not. And so I didn't want to like take an ambulance ride if I didn't have health insurance. I don't like know how I didn't know. It's just like, I didn't know. Like
right,
I just had
sure.
no, I was yeah. like, who knows? You
who
know
knows?
What I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to like explain to like the ambulance people that like I need to make sure I have insurance, but my cell phone's like out of batteries. Like I'm truly a mess, like tear stained.
Oh,
and so I was like, can I like please just like use your cell phone to like make a phone call before we go? Because I don't know if I can go anywhere if I don't have insurance. And one of the ambulance people was this lady and she was not having my drama. And she like was not even accommodating me with like a cell phone journey.
Oh, that's awful.
And so I started like scream crying again. And I was like, I just don't get, like, you guys don't understand. Like, and like was like losing my shit, like
oh
a full
God.
Blown flip out. And then finally the other guy handed me a cell phone and I like called my parents and was like, hey, like I don't know, I had an accident, like should I go to the hospital? Meanwhile my like nose is randomly bleeding, like I'm truly like fucked up. So they're like, yes, go to the hospital. So I go to the hospital and the ambulance just like takes me to the hospital, pulls up in front, and they're like, get out. They didn't
roll
me.
Are you kidding?
No, they were like,
did you get charged?
I don't know. They were like, just get out.
Maybe they didn't charge you.
I don't know. So
like, this is the discount ride.
Yeah. So I like got out and just like walked myself into the emergency room.
So
my
weird.
Face, my head is like swollen. I'm covered, like fully teared, and like just went to like the phone, like a pay phone, and was like, mom. And then my parents came and I'm like, how are they not like deeply concerned about me? I don't know. But everyone seemed to keep their chill about the situation, which was wild.
Oh, wow.
And I got x-rays and it revealed that I had fractured two bones in my face. My like,
oh my God.
My chin was like totally numb because I had like, one of the bones was fractured on like a nerve. And so it had like caused some numbness in my lips and chin. And so I had like blood in my throat from just like my face, like internally bleeding down my throat.
Oh my God.
I went home and just like slept. And then the next day someone had asked me to go on their like TV news show, like their local news show no. in Oklahoma. Yeah, to like promote.
Did you go?
Yes, I went. And I woke up the next day. My cheek is like totally puffed out. Like my face looks like broken. I look right. like the Elephant Man.
Oh,
and
no.
I went and just like kind of cheated my face to the side. I was, and my friend.
Do you have footage?
With the friend who invited me on the show was the older sister of the guy who had dropped me on
oh,
my face.
My God.
And she was like, I heard what happened. Like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. And like, I was literally like, just like,
wait,
elephant
do you have
woman.
Footage of this though?
I have one picture because then I had to do another this. Interview, like meet another person that
oh,
was like
no.
local and do an interview. And she took a picture of me, and I think it shows up if you Google me, but I was truly like totally broken faced. And then it was so bad that I just was like, I was supposed to go back to LA like the next day. And I was like, I'm not going back to LA.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to extend my trip for like a week and yeah. stay here and like and
recover.
Try and recover from this terrible accident. And I went and so I stayed, and then we went to visit like a plastic surgeon because we thought we were just nervous about the numbness.
Right.
And thankfully, the numbness went away. Like, there was no lasting nerve damage or no
okay,
surgery
good.
Or anything needed. But it was like I had two black eyes, and it was a real...
Oh, God.
It was fucked up.
Honey.
It was a fucked up
And then
moment.
When did you twist your ankle or whatever? Didn't you fuck up your ankle in that same year?
Oh, yeah.
Because you thought you saw a bug?
Oh, my God, yeah.
She
oh,
thought she
God,
saw a bug.
This is the worst year for, like, injuries. And then... 2 months later, right before Memorial Day weekend, I was going to meet our friend Oliver at the movies, and a moth flew in front of me, and it just really freaked me out. And I think moths are like really aggressive creatures. And
moths
just, like,
are fine.
No, they're like so
You're
dusty.
Weird.
They're dusty and aggressive, and it flew in front of me, and I just like flipped, and I was like, ah! And then I lost my footing because I was wearing these like Chanel flats that were like one size too small, and slipped and just cracked my ankle. Like,
oh my
I heard
God.
It pop as I fell to the ground, and then I realized I couldn't stand up. I was like, my ankle is broken, and I had to go to the ER.
Right.
And I had like almost torn a ligament in my ankle, and the doctor was like, just wrap up your, like, wrap it up and ice it, and it'll be fine, like, by the end of the weekend. And it hurt so bad. Everyone I knew was out of town that weekend. So my roommate was out of town.
Oh,
I was on crutches. I was supposed to go to do a book reading of White
it's
Girl
all about
Problems.
Your career.
Yeah, I was supposed
your
to do
your career is blowing up, but your injuries prevent you from.
It was, and I was supposed to do this reading, and I canceled it because
yeah.
it was like in Silver Lake. This was pre Uber, so
right.
I was like, I couldn't drive because it was my right foot, and I was like in so much pain and like crying and like hobbling around. I smoked a ton of weed, which was like not a great decision.
Right.
And then I watched Adaptation, which was the worst possible thing to watch.
Why?
Just because it was like a writer. It's just depressing. It's like a writer
okay.
who like can't get
okay.
his shit together and like,
yeah.
And it threw me into a K-hole of darkness. And I called the woman who'd organized this like book reading thing. Mm-hmm. Like day of, and I was like, I'm so sorry, but like I broke my ankle last night, and like I cannot. And she treated me as if I was like lying. I could tell she was
oh
over it
God.
And thought that I was lying.
Honey.
And then I wasn't. And then I stayed in my apartment for 5 days, didn't go out.
What'd you get? You got food delivered?
I just got food delivered and would hop on one foot over to the front door to get.
Were you
the
in
sack.
A lot of pain?
I was in so much pain.
Did they give you pills?
No.
Oh, that sucks.
I know. It was awful.
I hate that for you.
Yeah, 2012, not the year. Everything was just sad and fucked up that year.
Yeah, but you also, like, wrote a book.
I know. So it was, like, a high-low
yeah.
mix, but a lot of lows.
Well, now it's just...
now it's...
just what it is.
Well, at least I stopped injuring myself
yeah.
as much, and... Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I did fall off a... hoverboard this year.
You did?
Yeah. Well, last year.
It's your fault for going on a fucking
I know
hoverboard.
That was my fault.
Yeah, that's on you.
And right. I was actually fine, so it was a little hurt, but nothing big
besides getting hit by a car. And I've never actually gotten into any accident, which is hilarious.
Yeah,
because I'm so clumsy, obviously partially because of the CP, and so kind of unaware of my surroundings that like, but yeah, I mean, it was like just getting hit by a car, which, you know, I think.
But that was like a pretty huge
that
accident.
That was pretty huge. I was in the hospital for a month.
Yeah.
I had six surgeries and No, four surgeries and
you lost like
some function in my left hand. Yeah, I was in rehab for like a year.
I'd say that's like pretty significant.
Pretty severe.
I'd say that filled your accident quota for a lifetime.
It's so funny though, because it happened when I was 20 years old. And when you're 20 years old, nothing in your life matters that much. So you can kind of put things on hold and mm-hmm. recover.
It's yeah. Like,
I took the semester off of school. I moved to Beverly Hills randomly.
As one does.
As one does. And I just lived, I lived with this weird roommate from Oklahoma, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was she?
I've told you about her. She was kind of weird and she ended up fucking my brother, which kind of soured things between us. And I told you about her.
I did not know that she was from Oklahoma.
She's weird. She would be always on this Cool Whip diet where she would just eat Cool Whip all the time. And I was like, I don't think you're losing weight.
Did she get skinny?
No. I'm like, I don't think you get skinny from just eating Cool Whip. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's like chemically and weird. So anyway, that was like a lost year for me. I was just like, couldn't tell you what I did. Couldn't, like, I don't know what I did. I remember,
what year was that that happened?
It was 2007. Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it was a hard year for Britney. 2007 was a hard year for everyone, and it was a hard year for me.
2007 was a hard year. But then, for me, it ended on a good note.
Well, that's good.
Because I met my college boyfriend in, like, on like Halloween 2007.
Oh, nice. I moved to New York in January 2008. So,
yeah.
You know, look how well that turned out. Here we are again, haunted by my past and my demons. My diamonds.
Yeah. I want to know from the readers, like, have you ever had a horrible accident?
Yeah. Like, what are your recovery stories?
Yeah. I need to know some recovery stories. I've also just been, I am taking a look at past drinking stuff because I feel like that has led me into a lot of TBD situations. Uh-huh. And that was definitely one of them. Like when I was home for the holidays, I have a brother who's struggled with some substance abuse problems and like has had a lot of scary accidents. And my mom and I were kind of talking about it while I was home for Christmas. And then she brought up my broken face and she was like, remember that? She was like, that was really like scary. And I don't know why we weren't more freaked out about that. I was like, I know it was really cause for concern.
And they were just like, whatever.
Everyone was like, whatever. I was like, whatever. I was like, fuck, I just need to stay home. And like, but like, whatever, who cares? And I look back and I'm like, oh my God, like I could have died.
Yeah. Well, honestly though, it's kind of amazing that you just kind of kept it chill. You don't always need to lose your shit.
No, I mean, I did lose my shit.
Yeah.
But like, then I zipped it up again. But it was just weird how like, and I think it speaks to like a larger thing of when you try and like shut down pain or like
mm-hmm.
you try and weirdly like fuck your way through pain.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out one way or another.
Yeah, it always does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, have we lost you?
No.
I love it when it takes a dark turn. Was it that always too does. Dark though?
No, no, I don't think so. We've talked about pretty much, we always oscillate between fun, like light, frothy topics and then really dark.
And then
topics.
Going so fucking dark. Like, and then bouncing back, which is always fun.
So I guess.
Now, instead of being like a dark drinker, denier of emotions and like trying to have sex with unavailable guys, I'm trying to just be more of like a live, laugh, love, smoke weed, feel erotic and like have sex with people who I think are hot. And yeah, I think would be fun to have sex with.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to live.
Yeah. It's hard, though. You. It's a journey.
Yeah, I know.
It's a journey.
Yeah, it's always a journey.
Let's talk about Sex in the City 3 because
we were thrown a curveball today.
The world was thrown a curveball today when Kim Cattrall came for Sarah Jessica Parker.
She really did. It scorched earth, you guys.
She burned that bridge to the fucking ground.
We thought she burned it, and then there actually was a little bit left to burn, and she burned it.
So Kim Cattrall said a lot of shit about SJP on Instagram.
Well, it came from SJP commenting on Kim's Instagram, like, condolences for your brother who passed away.
Yeah, because...
Which I guess Kim did not love.
No, Kim hated it. Kim hated the condolences. And then she decided to do an Instagram post with just, like, a text message and then a huge essay underneath.
Yeah.
Of, like, they're not friends and she doesn't want her fake fucking condolences fucking to further her nice girl that. Image.
Oh my God. And can you imagine? I mean, how mortifying.
Okay. Well, I have a lot of thoughts. One is, I think both of these women are at fault and I need them to like make up and yeah. make nice. And I need them to make Sex and the City 3.
Yeah, because all you hear is like Sex and the City 3 going away. That's all you hear.
That's all I hear. And every time they shade each other or come for each other in the press or wherever, it reminds me that Sex and the City 3 isn't happening and it hurts me. And yeah. I believe that it hurts the entire world. And it's yeah. like, we they all have to relive the trauma.
But there's no way that
having Sex and the City 3 promised to us and then having it just painfully ripped away.
How do you
away.
Recover, though, from attacking a co-star after she gives you condolences over your dead brother? How do you recover from that?
I think that they need to meet up at a neutral location.
Yeah.
And Jersey have City. A talk. Yeah. yeah. Or they need to, like, have a neutral therapist that doesn't take a side in the matter.
Right.
And arbitrate some sort of conversation where they can come to a bigger that. Understanding.
The studio would finance that.
Like, at this point, their actions are hurting way more people than ever before.
I agree.
And they're actually being a really poor role models for women. And so they need to like get their fucking shit together.
All roads lead back to feminism for Laura.
Yeah. Feminism equals friendship. I don't know if you know that, but they need to bury the fucking hatchet.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. I think it's done.
What if they got together and like worked out all their problems and then in 2019 started filming Sex and the City 3? I think it will take the rest of this year for them to work it out.
Yeah, but babe, like I said, I think it's like totaled.
They could, you know what would be great?
What?
Is if they feuded for like 10 more years mm-hmm. and then when they're like when they've all reached their like 70s, like 75 to 80, mm-hmm. they finally do Sex and the City 3 as like geriatric seniors. No. I'm so here for that.
No.
Like an old.
No.
Like the Golden Girls.
No. Actually, I'm into that.
Honey, that would be epic. What if all of this is just like teasing and publicity for the movie that they're going to drop in like 2034?
Oh.
Sex and the City 3.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Can I talk about.
The no.
Can I talk
no.
about?
No. I don't think so.
Can I talk about?
No. No. I'm going to have to say no to that. I'm going to have to shut that down.
Can I talk about the cock? It's this bar in New York. And I kind of wanted to go there last night because I was like lit.
You were lit.
But I was too tired, so I couldn't.
Well, maybe we'll go tonight.
No, I'm too tired. But
honey, Ryan is so tired. Like, he can't just like get over it.
I know. I can't get over it. I honestly have gotten such shitty sleep 3 nights in a row, and
honey,
I'm tired.
I'm like, good luck getting sleep in this.
Well, I know. This little fucking. I know.
This is a bed Western. From like. They have a bed that looks like it's from colonial times.
I know.
It's like a bed made out of hay.
I know. Anyways. Well, so it reminded me. I mean, I've had so many babe moments in New York. This is like the land
it
of my.
It brings out the babe.
This is the land of my babeness because yeah. I was just such a psycho here and continue to still be a psycho today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Like, I don't know how to not be normal. I don't know how to be normal here. I really don't. But anyway, it reminded me of The Cock, which is this insane gay bar in the East Village where basically gay guys just like fuck on the dance floor and it's like a brothel. And it reminded me of this one time where I like met this like guy like wearing basketball shorts who was really tall and hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like really into him, and you know, and I barely hooked up with anyone, so it was like it was a queer call that this was even happening. And he was like, do you want to come home with me? And I was like, yeah. Oh my God. I was like so dying. And then all of a sudden he just was like, actually, never mind. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I'm just gonna go home. I'm tired. And I was like, oh, okay. And he leaves and I'm wasted. And I decided to chase after him down to the subway station. And I was like, are you sure? And he was like, yes. And I was like, okay, no worries. Talk soon. I was psychotic.
Ryan.
I know. I told you this last night.
I know, but I was zoning out.
I know. It was so embarrassing. I was so sad. I just wanted to hook up with someone. I was so lonely.
It's okay. So lonely. Everyone's had a moment like that.
But chasing him. Like,
babe, I showed up one time.
Running after him.
I showed up one time to this guy's DJ set that I was not invited to in a full-blown cheerleader costume at Halloween, thinking that I was just going to go there and then we were going to, like, hook up afterwards. Yeah. And, like, the girl he was actually dating was there and I said hi to him afterwards and he was like, hey, he was like, so are you going home? Like, are you getting a cab? There's a cab over there. And I was like, I guess. And he was like, yeah, you can just get that one. And so he sent me away.
That is so sad.
It was traumatic.
Oh my God.
It was a trauma I still, like, I just actually remembered and now I'm sweaty again.
Oh my God. Yeah. There were dark times.
What else is a bait? And now I'm into like.
What? Like
just reliving past relationship trauma. Babes. Yeah, relationship babes.
I don't know. I mean, I remember like I dated this guy once that I didn't like for like 3 months and I was so mean to him. And this like one time I was like, come to like Deep Brooklyn to this party that I'm at. And he's like, okay. And he showed up and it took him so long to get there. He was so excited and I saw him and I was like, anyways, I'm leaving. Right when he showed up, I was like, oh, hi, I'm actually going to go home. And he was like, are you kidding me? He's like, I literally just like spent an hour on the train to come see you.
Oh my God, I love like, that. It's
like,
a power move.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'll go home with you. And I never went to his apartment, not once. And I was like, tonight will be the night I come spend the night at your place. And then it came to a stop and I was like, actually, I'm just going to go home.
The basketball shorts guy had rejected you?
No, before. This is college.
Interesting.
I had boys try to date me in college and it was just like I was like basically like a crime scene with caution tape.
Yeah.
Like do not disturb, do not touch.
Yeah.
I was so crazy. I was just damaged. But also like the guys that liked me weren't the most like, stimulating folk, TBH.
I went to film.
They weren't lawlers.
Yeah, I went to film school and it was really like all the guys that go to film school are pretty much across the board awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like where you find like a very specific breed of like cis males that are just like,
oh God.
I did. So in film school, like all guys in film school, like want to make horror movies. Uh-huh. Like all their films were like short films that were like horror movies.
Is it women just getting killed?
Oh, I acted in so many guys' short films where I was murdered, like tied up by a serial killer, tied to like a kitchen table in a bra and underwear covered in fake blood, like shot in the face, slapped in the face. Like every single thing was like a let's murder women or like let's hurt women or torture women. And at the time I was just like, lol, anyways. Yeah. And I think, and I'm still kind of like lol about it because like who are the, I mean, I don't know if any of them are like working now or like what they're, I don't know what they are and what they're doing. But it was like, that was such a moment. And also the Quentin Tarantino stuff has like really reminded me of like what film school guys were like.
God, so douchey.
It's so douchey.
So douchey. And I hate when they do it like under the guise of like female empowerment, like Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Like it's like, yeah, it's a feminist tale. It's like, mm-hmm.
I mean, it sucks because I love Kill Bill.
I know, me too.
I love it. And I love Quentin Tarantino's movies. Like Death Proof is one of my favorite movies
of
all time.
I can't watch it again because I know the truth of like how things went down.
Yeah. And then so it just like sucks. I hate part of this like Me Too and all the like cultural dialogue is like realizing that a lot of your favorite artists might be actually problematic. And like,
I think most of them are.
I think most of them are. So then you're, how do you like separate that from the work and can you separate that from the work and should you separate that from the work?
I don't think you really can anymore. I mean, I don't know. I like Woody Allen, I'm like, I can't really watch his shit anymore.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that involve him like lusting after a 17-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like Blue Jasmine, I don't think I could watch that again. Even.
Oh my God, I could watch Blue Jasmine right now.
Blue Jasmine scares the shit out of me.
I live for that movie?
No.
Why? Because she's
I'm scared,
you.
Because she's me.
You think you're going to get babe aids from watching it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to get babe aids. I know. I seriously do.
Oh my God. I love any movie about like a woman losing her grip on reality.
I like that so much.
I love it. It's my favorite genre.
It's so triggering for me. What? Because I worry that I'm adjacent.
Because you're a psycho.
Yeah, I'm a psycho.
Because you kind of do that sometimes.
Yeah, but I'm a highly functional psycho.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you're like very successful and like you have your shit together, but like you lose your grip.
No.
You do.
I don't know.
You do a little bit.
I don't
want
to talk about it. I just
love it because I think it's so, it's usually really dramatized, like in, it's dramatized, but also relatable. Like mm-hmm. I'm now thinking of the movies that I love that do this and it's like Blue Jasmine, Catherine Deneuve is in this one movie that Roman Polanski directed,
mm-hmm.
Where she like fully babes out and becomes a true babe.
Are you going to hook up when you're in New York?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm potentially laying groundwork, but I can't tell the future.
Have you guys communicated today?
Not today yet. I've been very busy today.
Yeah.
We've been busy.
We've been homeless.
Ryan is nothing. Ryan's been drama about this trip from the fucking get-go. From where he called me frantically and he was like, before we even left, and he was like, honey, what are you packing? Are you packing clothes? And I was like, yeah.
I packed a fur. And I was like, I don't think you can wear that anymore.
Oh, yeah. And then he saw me come out to the Uber the morning of our flight. And I was wearing a fur coat that my mom had given me like years ago. And that was given to her like in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And this is the only place that I would wear it. Like, I'm not going to wear it in LA. And like, but it's a very warm coat and it's chic. And I get in the Uber and Ryan goes, you're wearing fur? That's really scary. Like, I don't think you can do that anymore. And I was like, fuck off. You can definitely wear fur.
I don't think you can.
Honey, okay, I'm over like any
sort of...
You can
do it here. You can do it at the Greenwich.
I can do it anywhere I want. This is a coat that was gifted to me. Fur is feminism. This coat was gifted to me by my mom. It's recycled.
All right.
It's vintage.
All right. I think
that if you buy a vintage fur, it's totally fine. Am I going to go out to like Dennis Basso and like drop $14,000 on like a chinchilla coat? It's a designer.
Okay.
No, but will I go buy a vintage fur and wear it and love it? Yes. That's not doing anyone any harm.
I think you should hook up with this guy. You should do it tomorrow night because I have dinner plans. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm not making any promises to myself or to you.
I think it would be fun.
But when you put the pressure on me, it immediately makes me not want to do it.
Abort. Back it up. Dude.
And you always do that.
Dude.
You always do that.
Dude. Okay.
Why do you do that? Let's unpack it.
Because I don't know, because you have had sex with this person before and you have fun.
I feel like
you always have fun.
I feel like, though, you try and vicariously live out your own
horse-pirational fantasies through me. I think that's a very basic read.
Well, then what's the real read?
The real read is that...
Let's unpack it.
The real read is that I know that having sex with this guy, you've been happy.
You don't know anything.
Yeah, I've been with you when you've had sex with him. And you have a good time. You walk away feeling good. So why would I not want my best friend to get fucked the way that she wants and walk away feeling good?
It's not more complicated
than that.
Okay.
It really isn't.
To me, it feels that way. It goes back to like that pressure thing that I talked about on a previous episode where it's like, yeah. People are like, oh, maybe there's a guy you can meet here. Are you gonna hook up? No, I know you're not doing that. And I think it's more my problem than anyone else's problem. Like, mm-hmm. For me, it's like... It feels like people are like taking pity on me or like trying to push me into something they think mm-hmm. I need to do or like saying what they know is best for me.
Yeah, but that's like, again, like this thing with this guy in particular, like I just, I'm picking my face.
Stop.
She's making me stop.
I'm making him stop. Face. I hate it.
So,
you can't do it if we share on the bed that we're sharing.
Yeah, this
on our marital bed.
This twin bed that we're fucking sharing. With this guy, I just know that you had a good experience with him before, and I feel like you deserve it. You should have it.
Yeah, but I don't want to be pressured because
there's no pressure.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Who's your babe of the week? Oh, wait. No, we need to read emails, don't we? Babe mail?
No, we have time.
How much time?
We have more time.
How much time?
pop culture and politics.
Oh God. Yikes. Pop ticks.
What else has gone on this week in pop culture? I feel like there's been something that I really like.
Let's see. Lindsay Lohan was interviewed in W.
Lindsay is having a makeup line come out where she is making a cream blush.
Who's lawyer.com?
Lawyer.com is a project that Lindsay's been promoting. I don't know for what reason.
What is it? Do we know?
It's like a legal services website.
For who? For what?
I don't know.
I'm so confused.
I looked at it and was very confused.
Okay.
Lindsay is trying to have a comeback, and I don't know if she's going to really achieve her dreams. Thoughts?
Someone just wrote on Instagram, oh my God, are you in NYC? Do a fan meetup, please. Sign your fellow Key West.
The fans want a meetup.
We wish that we
should
don't,
we do one no, on Monday?
No. We don't have time. We have to have dinner with my sister.
We could do it after.
No.
Ryan hates the
We'll
fans.
Do it again. We'll do it again.
Ryan is on record now.
Wait, what?
Not, Ryan is not here for the readers.
Wait, Jim just wrote, at the risk of trolling you or just annoying you, has anyone pointed out that you and Lara are like the alternate universe, Johnny and Tara? I just listened to their podcast and it occurred to me. Okay, I'll leave you alone now. Who's
Who
Johnny and Tara?
Who are Johnny and Tara?
Honey, who's Johnny and Tara? Who is that?
Tara Reid.
Is it Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski? That's
that's trolls.
Is that who is that?
Is it?
I don't know. Is Jim trolling?
Jim's trolling. He knows he's trolling because he said at the
he
risk
said
of trolling.
He delivered a troll.
You are trolling.
I'm messaging him right now. Sorry, this will probably make no sense to the readers, but
well,
whatever.
I think it'll get cut out. Unless the readers want to know that it's Jim Parsons, who's a huge fan of the podcast, an ambassador, and he really reaches out to us a lot to tell us that he really loves this podcast.
He's our frequent collaborator muse.
Our muse, a champion of our work.
A champion of the arts.
A champion of the arts and a believer in our brand. Thank you, Jim. This episode of Babe is brought to you by Jim Parsons.
I love it. I honestly think I'm guessing he's talking about Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski, although I wasn't aware that they had a podcast. Wait, that you and Lara are the alternate universe, Johnny and Tara. Yeah, just listen to the podcast. Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? You know, we'll
I don't find out. I don't read podcasts, so I don't know. But anyway.
Well,
what?
Nothing.
What are you thinking about?
I was just thinking about my friends, my family. My loved ones.
Okay.
Thinking about gratitude.
Wait, I want to talk about Dorit because I know.
What's going on with Dorito?
She's fucking crazy. So, I mean, God bless her because she's the only one that makes drama happen in Beverly Hills. Like, without her, that show would just be like, you know, like Kyle wearing bangles to like various lunches.
Kyle and a bell sleeve, a different bell sleeve every episode.
Yeah.
Kyle
honey,
with like a severe hairstyle that's
that
not
bell.
Making sense.
Honey, yeah, no, please. So it's terrible. So she does bring it, but my favorite thing is like how much she doesn't see her children. And I know I came under fire for saying that her children, their child had a misshapen head because of neglect. And I know that happens for various reasons.
You had a lot of controversy.
I know. I have.
Oh
my God. And I misgendered. Oh my God. I said, I called that trans person that guy last week, which was so stupid and weird. I don't even know why I said it. So sorry.
When we were talking about the trans person who had interrupted Rose McGowan's book.
Yeah, who had attacked
thing,
her.
Attacked her attacked verbally. Her
and said that it was just like the genocide and AIDS. It's AIDS crisis all over again. Who, I guess, apparently was revealed to have assaulted people. I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't think she's well. But
no. Anyway, I misgendered her by saying that guy, which was kind of crazy.
That's crazy. I didn't even catch it until a friend of ours had reached out and they were like, You mocked the trans movement, which I didn't.
We did not mock the trans movement. I am like
I made a joke about identifying. I feel like this is digging our own grave.
The thing is like that's so lol is like even just saying that, I feel like there's a sniper like literally from the other building.
Yeah, we both like looked out the window and we're like,
and we're like, we have literally like red dots on our heads and we're gonna die because we said it. You know what I mean? Like we're like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I just like I made a law about identifying as a male or identifying as a female, which was meant in, that's a joke. But then you misgendered someone, so you're really the one under fire.
Wait, are we talking about when I brought up your high testosterone levels?
No.
Your high T levels?
That's my journey. That's my journey that I still am having to deal with. I've started having night sweats again, which is weird because I take my testosterone medication to not have night sweats, and now I have night sweats.
At least you're not bleeding through the bed like last time we stayed at a hotel.
Okay, what? Last time we were in NYC together, we stayed at the Bowery. Uh-huh. And I don't know. I'm sure that my fellow females have gone through this. I hope they have at least. But I had a rager of a period that once a year.
It was like you were ready to party.
Once a year, ready to party. My period rages so out of control that no tampon or cup or pad can stop it. Like there will be blood and there's nothing I can, like I just bleed out and there's no way to control it. Like I do everything to try and control it and I just bleed everywhere. And sometimes it's just like what needs to happen with my body. We were at the Bowery and I bled. I woke up in a puddle of my own blood two nights in a row. And I was just like, I'm so sorry. What do you even say to that? I was like, I knew you didn't care. But I really don't care. I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know. I have no excuse. It just happened. And you just have to, like, as a woman, be like, okay.
But they changed the sheets, right?
Of course they're not going to. Yes, they changed the sheets.
Honestly, if you're going to bleed through the sheets, I think the hotel is the best place to do it because you have turnout service.
Yeah. No, it's way better to bleed through a hotel sheets than your own.
I love that we covered your heavy period and me getting unknowingly fucked in the ass this week. We're just like disgusting, vulgar trash.
This is body talk with Ryan and Lara.
I feel so weird that I didn't know his penis was inside me. I feel like I must
now
have
you
known.
Feel weird about it?
I don't know. The whole situation was so NBD to me. I should have maybe, I don't know. Maybe I regret him not fucking me more.
I feel like if you're going to enter that situation, you might want to have a conversation with the person you're hooking up with to like talk ground rules beforehand so that you don't enter a situation where all of a sudden a dick is in your ass.
I love bottoming. I do.
Like, one of my most favorite hookups of all time was, like, what?
Nothing. I just love how you drive past it. You're just so over it. You just drive. You're, like, not even phased anymore. You're
no.
Just like, anyways.
Anyways. Yeah. One of my favorite hookups of all time was after a Dave Matthews Band concert when I talked to
the Rasta Bus.
This guy that I was, like, crushing on, and we basically, like, talked about the kind of sex we like to have and then explicitly told each other how we wanted to hook up with each other.
That's
and
hot.
Laid a bunch of ground rules and then went into the sexual experience with like knowing what we were gonna do and knowing like what lines we weren't gonna cross, and that was like That's so hot.
That's like consent hot.
It was it turned consent into like the hottest thing ever.
It's possible. Who, you know, like obviously.
It is possible. And I love because I did that too when you put me on blast for making out with that married guy. What I did too.
Oh, I'm fine with you making out with that married guy.
No, I know. But
by the way, Lara is begging me to go see the movie that he's in, and I refuse.
I know. Ryan won't go see the movie that he's in.
Yeah, the movie that he's in. It's out now.
Shh.
What? I'm not saying what it is, but it's really long.
Anyway.
And I won't see it.
You won't see it, but I'll just have to watch it at home. But when I was at dinner with this guy, I had told him, I was like, here's what I'm comfortable doing.
Yeah.
Like, we can make out on the street. We can make
That's
out
hot.
In the restaurant. And then we did it. And it was like very gratifying. So I'm realizing when it comes to like consent, I like to be very explicit and I like to have like that conversation before because it builds up like a lot of like excitement, and then
I think so too.
You
it's
both are
foreplay.
In agreement about what's going to happen.
It's good foreplay.
So I'm saying that maybe you should do what a New York Times bestselling author does and talk, have a conversation.
I just wasn't expecting it, but I kind of was too.
You really did not know the difference between his finger and his penis?
I don't know, because he fingers me for a long time. I'm just saying, and then when you do that, you get loose.
But, like, I would know the difference between a dick and a finger in either.
You know what he said to me that I kind of was triggered by?
What?
This is so sick.
Oh, my God.
But he was like, Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm so embarrassed right now. He was like, say oh, it. Your asshole is like pretty. No, hold on. Shut up. Stop it.
Okay.
Your asshole is pretty. Your asshole's pretty loose. Like, your boyfriend must have a huge dick. And it's true. But I don't want my asshole to be loose. That's sick. Ew, that's gross. I want to have a tight asshole.
Ryan.
What? I'm serious. Is that wrong?
No, that's not wrong.
I want to have I don't want to I don't want a hot dog down a hallway.
Honey.
What?
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to do when you get a loose asshole.
I did not know my asshole was loose. In fact, I don't think it is loose because I do not have a loose asshole. I do not. It hurt my feelings. You said it as a good thing, though. Which is weird.
Because it's probably lucky for you.
What do you mean?
Well, because Jonathan does have a huge dick.
I know, but so what? I mean,
that's congratulations.
For him, yeah.
For you.
Yeah, no, it's congratulations for my boyfriend for having a big penis, not congratulations for me for having a loose asshole. I'm the one that fails in this scenario. I don't win from having a loose asshole.
The more we discuss this scenario, the darker it gets.
I'm into it. I'm ready to do a deep dive. I got my scuba gear.
You're peeling away layers. If someone told me that about my asshole, I'd feel very strange.
I felt like you were he said it in a hot way. He loved it or something like that.
Well, he probably likes that you can just take a dick. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just want to make sure it's still tight. I want to do my exercises.
Can you do ass Kegels?
I don't know. I just made that up.
There has to be your sphincter is a muscle. Like, you have to be able to do some sort of exercise to tighten it. Have any of you been diagnosed with a loose asshole? And if so, what did you do to tighten things back up down there? Let us know. babepodcast@gmail.com.
Is my loose asshole a babe?
Loose asshole a babe or a babe?
I think it's a babe. I don't think it's a babe. I'm not
your situation with the porn star is a babe. It's for both of you.
Yeah
You're both in the babe.
I also just love usually when you're hooking up with someone, the instinct is to compliment the person, but in this case it was a compliment to my boyfriend
and your asshole.
Yeah, but again, I always assumed having a loose asshole was not, because it's oh, yeah, you're so tight. That's a good, but maybe it's not, because it feels good. It hugs your penis if it's tight.
Well, yeah, but it's hugging your penis. You don't want it to be too tight.
No, of course not. It hurts. But
so.
But I think it feels better for the penis if it's tighter. If it's looser, it's not as good, because it's not like sucking it around. It's not hugging it. Little hug.
Well.
Little asshole hug.
This is a really derailed.
It's so gross, but I'm into it.
You're loving it.
Leave this in.
I'm leaving it in.
Jonathan's like, what?
Jonathan is horrified. Oh my God,
can you please have Jonathan's Patreon where he has to defend his gigantic penis?
I don't want to make Jonathan uncomfortable.
Oh God, he's going to hate that, but he's going to also love it.
Well, who wouldn't? You know what I mean? If I had a boyfriend who went on a podcast and was like, Lara has the best pussy ever, blah, blah, blah. And then I had to go on a podcast and be like, my pussy is amazing. I would be into that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, stop talking about my tight pussy so much.
literally, next week, it's just we went from being a comedy podcast to being in sex and relationships. We got
re-genre ourselves. Yeah. That's okay, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know what I realized? What? Not only am I New York Times bestselling author, what? But I also have a really tight asshole.
Well, yeah, it's nothing to be excited about.
Well, I just want the readers to know.
Oh my God. Our assholes. I have a loose asshole, Laura's a tight asshole. The end of that story. One's loose, one's tight.
Some people are loose, non.
Two best friends. One's loose, shall they say, and the other one's tight.
A tight.
How will they make
this
it work?
My new Tinder profile is New York Times bestselling author with a tight asshole.
Gross. Come and get it.
Come and get it, boys.
Gross.
Why is that gross when sick. I say it, not gross when you say it?
I don't know.
Misogyny.
I know.
Okay.
What?
Oh, someone emailed us. We had a lot of emails and ads about Kim Cattrall babing out. Kim is my babe of the week.
Okay. My loose asshole is my babe of the week.
Yeah, that is a babe of the week.
That's a babe of the week. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into our fan mail.
Okay.
Okay.
Babe mail.
Babe mail. We had a really, 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 really good one from a girl named Michelle. And she wrote, a woman named Michelle, and Michelle wrote, "Dear Lara and Ryan, as much as I love Ryan, big fan of his Insta stories and basically anything that comes out of his mouth, this email is an ode to Lara."
Aww.
Anytime Lara talks about...
Of course you picked this one.
Yeah. Anytime Lara talks about men in general and her feelings slash approach towards them, I could not agree more. I too feel constantly on guard when approached by 98% of males and ready to karate chop them with my words in anticipation of being belittled or patronized.
Oh, wow.
In some way, shape, or form. I feel a little less alone knowing I'm not the only one internalizing this perception, so thanks for that, Lara. Having been a fan since I first heard her guest on Please Advise Pod,
oh wow!
I basically good trust bitch. Her judgment completely. So when she sang her praises of Molly's Game, I knew I wasn't going to fuck with The Shape of Water or The Darkest Hour when it came to choosing a movie at AMC. Loved the movie and was completely entertained, but... is it babe to have a complete sobfest meltdown watching the end of Molly's Game?
I turned it off. I don't even know what happened.
Going into the movie, I did not expect to relate to Molly's relationship with her father as utterly and completely as I did. Every single scene of their interaction, peppered between poker matches and scenes with Idris Elba, had me gripping my armrests or peeking behind my hands. Nothing could have prepared me for the final scene with them at the ice rink and the last question he
forced her to ask him.
The one where
he just popped up, like, out of nowhere? That made no sense. Anyways.
My reaction was so visceral that as soon as the credits rolled, I leapt up from my seat and ran out of the theater to my car, where I proceeded to bawl my fucking eyes out. Once I got home, I broke down even further into a hyperventilating fit.
Oh my god!
I eventually calmed down and proceeded to stare at a blank wall for about an hour. The experience turned out to be therapeutic as I finally realized why I used to pick fights with my father as a child and why he always treated me so differently from my athletic younger brother. The relationship with my father parallels exactly to Molly Bloom's, and seeing it on a wide screen amongst strangers threw me for a fucking loop. Anyway, just wanted to say thanks, Lara, for the great movie rec that led to my psychoanalytic breakthrough. You're both doing the Lord's work. Keep the eps coming.
Oh, good. Love you, babe.
Love you, babe. Oh, she says, P.S. I'd like to formally request more singing impersonations. The Britney Spears ep slayed me. I've never laughed harder.
My God.
Well.
No.
Hello.
Oh, wait. Sing that song that got in my head, Laura.
Oh,
you have to sing it.
I've really been into this.
It got stuck in my head for
song
like
days. Pizza in the morning, pizza in the eat. Wait.
You're not doing it right.
On the bed. No, I have to sit up for this.
Okay.
Okay. Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time. When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime. Pizza on the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time.
I don't know why you said this.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime. It's
the
best song.
You sang this apropos of nothing last
weekend. I know, because it's a really catchy song.
Yeah, I loved it.
I don't think it's babe to have a car cry about your dad, because I've definitely been there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
On the scheme of babes, it's very minor.
And to have like a movie really push you to that place, I think is great. And I think you're in touch with your emotions, and that's a babe exclamation point.
Oh my God, yeah.
My dad,
I agree,
went to rehab in 2007, and I had a full-blown breakdown in my car over Thanksgiving break while he was away, and
you
I
did?
Listened to the same TV on the radio song 20 times and just like wept in the car. And I didn't necessarily feel better, but it was a moment. Knew it a moment, and it's fine.
Someone commented on that Instagram video of you and said you looked beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. I would also love to request more odes to me via email.
Oh my God,
because
stop.
I love. You said this last night.
For what?
I said I love getting readers' emails, and you said I love it too, but we don't get enough.
All right.
Ryan wants the attention too. Okay. Javen writes, "Dearest Lara and Ryan, Mm-hmm. I know this is late, but my babe of 2017 goes out to Fergie on stage at the Trevor Project Gala celebrating Tom Ford. If you haven't seen it, allow me to mansplain. Fergie crashes the stage, removes Armie Hammer from the microphone, and proceeds to talk about how, if Tom Ford were here tonight, the camera cuts to him sitting in the front row, that he would love the black sequin long sleeve mock neck dress she was wearing. She then proceeds to talk about how her new
CD...
Yeah, he was there. Our new CD has a special edition available at Target, which features bonus versions on some of her songs. Then she gets the crowd to sing along to one of her songs, which none of them have ever heard or will ever hear. All I can say is, babe, it is so typical of a straight person to take over an LGBT charity event and start ranting about Target.
Remember when she pissed her pants on stage?
Yeah.
Oh, we need to put that on the Instagram. That was a babe.
That was
a total babe.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's funny.
Oh my god, here's a really good. We have a scammer email this week, which is now my new favorite genre of
email. Okay, great.
Scammers and stealers.
Great.
So this week's scammer email comes from Robert, who says, "Hi, I was listening to the episode where you guys mentioned loving a return scam, like that person does at Whole Foods,
and I wanted to share my own.
I've worked in skincare and have an extensive knowledge about the science behind it. I'm also obsessed with my skin and putting everything on it at once, all of the time. If you were curious of pics, I'm Destiny Foster Child on Insta, and I realize it's a babe to shout myself out on an email where I also just talk about myself as well. Sephora has a pretty open-ended return policy that usually also requires the product not to be more than 50 to 75% empty, depending on the person who's doing the return.
Wow.
I often fully use products and then replace them with something similar enough that they don't know.
No!
I decanted an $85 Elevent moisturizer into a separate container.
And just
filled the package back up with some Jergens.
No! Wait. Okay, that's not okay. I think that's rude because that's being sold to someone else.
I don't think they resell it.
Oh, okay, then that's great.
I don't know, actually. If anyone knows what Sephora does with the products that you return.
Because if they do resell it, that's fooped up because then some person
gets
I don't know.
So, readers, clear this up for us.
Yeah.
Because... what if someone's just like slathering Jergens on their face? Okay, anyways, put on a robe.
Are you cold?
It's basically to the point that anytime I go to Sephora, I'm not spending any money and instead starting with a return, then sending the store credit card they give me in exchange.
Oh my god.
Recently I got lazy and filled a serum bottle with something obviously different, texture, color, smell, and the girl tried to clock it, so I went into a rant about how the product must have oxidized or gone rancid because of it not being my fault in any way. They should take the return. The girl did, apologized to me, then also gave me information to contact the brand, and they sent me a replacement too. Even after my refund.
Oh my god, these skincare.
This is so long, but I thought it was worth it to mention the scam and let you know about my journey.
It's amazing.
So many scammers in the skincare game.
I love that.
You gotta scam sometimes because skincare is not cheap.
No, it's not.
And like I've tried.
And also, I think that some of the things that to make it cost them no money, and the upcharge is crazy.
Oh, the upcharge is crazy. I mean, if the Ordinary can sell stuff that's good for like $6,
but I heard Ordinary was like kind of bullshit in a way.
Really?
Did you read that article about it?
Yeah, that article sucked. That article said nothing.
Yeah, it said nothing.
It was a bad article.
Yeah, it was bad. Okay.
Anyways, let's see. Should we do one more?
Yeah.
Oh my god, someone vaped with Rose McGowan.
Oh, great. Okay, give it to me.
Blythe writes us.
Blythe?
Yeah.
Oh, is it
Blythe? Yeah. Blythe Marks, shout out.
Oh, love.
Little sweetie.
We know her.
We know her. Being from Arizona, New Year's Eve is a wildly bizarre babe moment to behold. It's not unheard of for people to die from bullets that fall from the sky, having been launched by gun-toting Republicans emerging from their bomb shelters for an evening of festivities.
Oh my god!
With this in mind, I jumped at the opportunity to get away and end my year in style, hopping in my car and driving to Palm Springs at the suggestion of my gorgeous and glamorous twink besties. Upon arriving at the party, held in a truly chic mid-century bungalow on the outskirts of the city, I proceeded to rub shoulders with the Hollywood power gaze, clad and tailored to perfection blazers from the likes of Acne and Saint Laurent. It's hilarious and maddening to tell people my name, followed by the line, ... like the city in California, only to realize their bougie asses have never driven further east than Indio for a weekend of Coachella selfies. Just like the TBD gay Christmas party where I finally met Ryan, I had to reintroduce myself by saying, "Hi, my name is Blythe," like Blythe Danner, Gwyneth Paltrow's mom. Only then did I see the eyeballs widen in delight and my aura became imbued with a goop-worthy glow.
I love Blythe.
I love her. Anyway, after exhausting myself after an hour of reassuring people that I was in no way actually related to our dearest Gwynny, I was shocked back to life by the sight of a gorgeous, very short, bald woman in a canary yellow jumpsuit. I immediately gravitated toward her and tapped her on the shoulder to comment on her outfit, only to realize it was none other than Rose McGowan.
Wow.
We were both slightly horrified to learn her getup was from Isabel Marant, the inventor of the much copied and truly babe-worthy sneaker wedge.
Agreed.
Yes, which elicited grimaces from us both.
Oh, great.
I felt I had found a soul sister at a party full of cisgender gay men looking for coke and cock. She had no idea where we were, and I had to patiently reassure her that it wasn't a CAA party after I divulged it was being held at the house of a talent manager.
Lol.
In her heightened state of awareness, she said she was yearning to indulge in her infamous and precious vape, though it was locked in her car and she needed someone to go get it. Why she didn't have her keys on her, I have no idea. Maybe she hires members of Rose Army to do her bidding.
That's probably true, TBH. You know Rose Army
she
is just...
She has,
Rose Army is unpaid interns.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
It's internship.
They are. Hashtag unpaid interns.
Yeah.
Hashtag Rose Army. Yeah.
She offered to take... She offered me to take a hit when it was in her hands, and I jumped at the opportunity. When does one get a chance to get high off Revolutionary Warrior's own supply?
Yes.
However, we lost touch as Rose proceeded to take an avant-garde front-facing Instagram videos by a fireplace, a la Britney Spears singing and dancing in her foyer.
Oh, fair enough.
That's a level of celebrity I have not ascended to nor comprehend, so I let her be. In turn, I got tastefully trashed on tequila, whiskey, and a bottle of Trader Joe's raspberry Bellini I brought because I'm a high-class bitch.
Ooh,
a question for my spiritual gangsters, Ryan and Lara. What would you have done in the moment? I regret not smoking what was probably grade A white people weed, and I feel like I lost out on a breakthrough moment in my journey towards babedom, which includes getting high in the California desert and living my truth at least once. I wasn't hashtag brave enough, but I feel like you too would be. Any advice?
I'm actually not. I'm actually very weird around actors. I always have been. You're not weird around them at all.
No.
You actually come alive.
I come alive.
And I actually run away. I can't deal with them.
I love it. And I think when a celebrity asks you to smoke weed, you should say yes.
No. I mean, yes, of course, but I can't do that.
You can't do that.
No, I will run away. I can't talk
to
them.
No, well, you don't smoke weed.
Well, no, I know, but I can't even speak to them, let alone smoke pot with them.
I love like a vape. I love a weed bonding moment. I truly believe it's chic. And I also am into like people smoking weed together and chatting is more important and engaging than like a cigarette.
Didn't I have that same situation with Jenny Lewis a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cute.
Yeah. It was cute.
Yeah.
I went to a Grammys party like randomly with Jenny Lewis and like a group of people, but Jenny Lewis was in the group and we like weirdly got stuck together for like a majority of the night. And we got separated from our group at the Grammys party, and I feel like she at first was like not into being stuck with me, a stranger that she didn't know.
Yeah.
But then we started to loll, and then later in the night we like were smoking a joint, and like she was really funny and sweet, and we had a good time.
I love her.
Yeah, but it was like smoking weed brings people together, and it's always a loll. I mean, unless you like freak out when you're stoned. But
in
like
which case, no.
I always say smoke weed with people. I smoked weed with R. Kelly once.
I know.
But that's a story for another time.
Another pod.
Yeah.
Another day, another pod.
All right. Well, should we just wrap this up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. What is like a life lesson that we
are you calling this loose lips, loose assholes?
Oh, gross.
What?
No.
Why do you say, where's that? Why is this your line in the sand now?
What?
You're like horrified now. We talked about loose assholes for 20 minutes.
Because
like,
I'm not,
and now
I don't
like,
want to call the episode
the
loose lips, loose assholes. That's a gross title.
Well, it's not incorrect.
If I called it that, I feel like people would be
banned.
It would be
iTunes
weird.
Would, like, ban us.
I don't think they could ban us, but I feel like it would really stray from the brand that we've kind of created on.
You're right. We're not known for our loose asshole talk, but
no,
we're all about evolving.
You know what? Sometimes you can talk about it.
Yeah.
Some people have looser assholes than others. It's something that I'm learning, and that is the wisdom that we can impart on you.
It's just being on this $20 bed that really brings up the truth in me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This colonial era bed. I'm like, should we go down to the barn and churn some butter For the family.
The barn is a spa.
Yeah, the barn is like a 250 feet bamboo spa.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
There's a pool.
What makes up for the bed is the fact that there's a pool indoors that feels like a womb.
Which is literally so unheard of for New York.
And if you need me tomorrow, I'll be sitting by that pool all day. And you won't be able to get in because it's guests only.
Yeah.
JK, I wish you could come. Maybe. Maybe some other time.
Yeah, maybe some other time.
All right. Love and light. Good luck to your asshole, Ryan.
Thank you.
I hope you do some kegels.
I'm giving it some motivational speeches right now. I'm like, you can be better.
Clench and release. Clench and release.
Ooh, you can be better.
Clench and release.
Come on. Don't be such a hoe.
Come on.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Please.
Come on.
Please.
All right.
My darling. My darling.
Okay.
What? Do you not like it?
No, I love it.
My darling. So insane.
This is what Ryan and Jonathan
my
say to each other.
My darling. Oh.
Where did the Irish persona come from?
I don't know where my darling came from. I don't know. My darling.
You're like Clint Eastwood in Million Dollar Baby.
I know.
Where he's like,
I want to do
what was her name
work
in William? Oh, good luck.
I'm gonna be
that
like, my darling, come into the ball. I think I can do it. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, I'm done.
All right, we gotta go.
All right, you guys.
Enough is enough.
See you on the babe side.
Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.